Well, last week I started, I just spoke about spring cleaning our souls. And so I had a lot of different information on it, didn't get through everything. And so it just seemed like, okay, let's go ahead and do it again this week. So we're just going to talk a little bit about that. And so we started off with the scripture, 3 John. There's only one chapter, but this is verse 2. It says, "Beloved, I pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers." And so in this verse, we see that our health and our financial stability is a lot tied to how our soul is. And so if we have a weakness in our soul, it affects the rest of our life as well. And so today we're just talking a little bit more about how is it that we can spring clean our soul. You know, when spring cleaning, that's when you're going through all your stuff and you're getting rid of the things that you no longer need. And, you know, you're maybe going through the yard, getting rid of some weeds, or, you know, starting to mow. We started to mow again. You know, you're doing things to clean up things to get ready for new growth, to get ready for new things. And so, and you're cleaning out the old. And we talked about sometimes, you know, if you're not careful, if you have old stuff around in your soul, you can become crusty. And crusty means that you're just, you know, you can be irritable, you can be maybe judgmental, you can be harsh with people, you can be cynical. I don't know that you've ever met a cynical person in your life, but I have. And you know, and you just, you're around them and you're like, I don't think you're a very happy person. You know, and so that's kind of that idea that you get of crusty, not very happy. And so when we are spring cleaning our souls, we're kind of taking out some of that, the junk, and making room for the life of God to be on the inside of us and to come out of us and to have his joy, to have his peace, to have his long suffering, to have the fruit of the Spirit coming out of us. And so, you know, there's another thing that we were talking about, how that when we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior, our spirit is reborn. And so that is brand new, and we have access to God. We can come boldly before his throne. If we look at Hebrews 4:16, it says, "Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." We have this grace because of what Jesus did. And so because of the blood that was shed for us and because of that sacrifice that he made, we can come boldly into his presence 24/7. We have access to him all the time. 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. We have the Holy Spirit on the inside of us all the time because of what Jesus did for us. And so our spirit is reborn, but our soul is not. It's not, it didn't start over. It doesn't go back into a baby state and we just don't remember, like, who are you? I don't remember you. You know, we remember everything, our entire life, everything that has gone on. We still have a soul that remembers things. And so how do we help our souls? We renew it with the Word of God. We begin to change things by seeing how that God does things in his word and then choosing to make our life conform to the word of God. And so so those are some of the things that we kind of touched on. You know, when you come to God, when you're not a Christian, sometimes people feel like they have to clean themselves up, you know, clean up their soul before they come to God. But you don't have to do that at all. In fact, he just wants you to come. He's standing at the door knocking, and he's just saying, open the door. And when you allow him, when you open the door and allow him to come in, he is the one that is actually going to help you make the changes. And so, you know, he doesn't expect instant change overnight. In fact, he is a very, very patient God. And so praise God for that. You know, there are things that I knew in my 20s that I am still growing in my more mature years. And so, you know, so we are continually getting better, growing in the things of God, in our souls. It is getting better. And so as we allow him to move in areas of our lives, he always makes it better. You know, there are times that there are things in our lives that we really don't want touched. It hurts too much. You know, it's like maybe you've had something happen in your life and it's tender. And if anyone touches it, it's like, please don't. Stay away from that. And we can be that way with God. We can be like, that's okay, God, but I don't really want to act on that. I'm not sure that I trust you in this area. I don't really want you to look in this corner. And so spring cleaning, when we do our spring cleaning, we go into the corners that, you know, we don't normally, you know, we open the closet doors, we open the attic, we go out to the garage, we do these areas that we don't normally touch, we don't normally look at all the time, and we rip it out and say, okay, what do I need? What do I want to change in this area? And so that's what God, if we allow him to work in our hearts and or work in our souls, he will help these areas that we are dealing with, things that can be tough for us to see on our own. And he doesn't want, you know, he isn't necessarily going through every single area of your life. He knows how much you can change. He's, like I said, he's very patient. And so there's things that he begins to show you. He begins to put light on it. And then that light produces revelation. And as that revelation takes place, it doesn't mean that it's super easy necessarily, because maybe your flesh wants to keep hurt or just different things, you know. But if we allow him to move in us and allow that light, all of a sudden something that would have seemed so hard to change, it begins to not be as hard to change. And that's him coming alongside and helping us. If we try to do it on our own and in our own self-will, a lot of times it will pop up in another area. Have you ever heard of people that have maybe quit something? Maybe, maybe they quit smoking, and so then it caused them to eat a lot, so they gained weight. You know, so they're doing something, changing something in their own strength and in their own might, but then it causes it to pop up in a different way, in a different area. And so with God, when we allow him to help us, he can change it. He can make it to where we see things, and his revelation helps us to be able to get through a situation and get to the other side with no side effects. And that is amazing, because there's not a lot of things that you can do. Like if you take medicine, you've heard on the TV, it has all the things that it could cause, blah, 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 blah. And the list is so long, and you're like, okay, which is worse, to deal with what I have or to take this medication and get something potentially worse? And so, you know, with God, there is no unhealthy side effects. When he is coming alongside you and he is helping you with something, he does it in a way to where you will get through to the other side if you don't quit. And so today, what I want to kind of do is talk about just doing the word. And so we're talking about our soul prospering, spring cleaning our soul. But you know, a lot of times, I don't know about you, but there are some things that I like to procrastinate on. I'm getting, you know, a little better on that because I am married to somebody that is very good on certain things. And so I, you know, allow him to help me in the areas that aren't as strong in my life. And so some of those things that I used to always procrastinate on, I don't procrastinate as much as I used to. But, you know, sometimes you see a pile of papers and you're just like, I don't want to go through that. And you just kind of keep pushing it off and you keep adding to that pile. Have you ever done that? Sometimes mail, sometimes, I don't know, homework, whatever. You just keep like, I don't want to do that yet. I don't want to do that. So you just keep letting it pile up and up and up and up. And before you know it, you have something that is so much work. Whereas if you had just been doing it a little bit at a time, you know, it wouldn't have piled up to quite as much as it is right now. So sometimes procrastination is one of those things that can hold us back from spring cleaning. Another thing is that you're not motivated. Have you ever felt unmotivated? I just do not want to get to that. This is not fun. And now I know some of you, you're just born to clean out closets. And it is so fun and refreshing for you. That is not me. I am not born to clean out closets. And so, but I am married to someone who is, and it's a great help. I can, you know, rely on that ability, and he helps me. Well, we have the Holy Spirit, and he is an amazing helper. He will help us touch areas that are not fun to touch, that we're just like, nah, I'm not motivated to change that. That just doesn't seem fun. It seems more fun to wallow in my pit than to change. But if we will allow him, he will help us. He will help us to motivate. Have you ever just felt like not doing it? Like, it isn't even that you're not motivated. It's just that you just don't feel like it. I mean, I just don't feel it. Have you ever woken up in the morning and the Bible says, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you're like, not today. It's raining. And if it were, you know, this time of year and it's snowing, that would be even worse. You're like, forget it. I am not rejoicing today. But that is part of the word. There is a word that the scripture says that we can have the joy of the Lord and that it is our strength. Amen. And so the thing that I like about that, though, is that joy is of the Lord. It's not in our own strength. It's not in our own might. We are leaning on God, and he's the one that helps us feel like it. Mm-hmm. If we're motivated by feelings all the time, we can be a roller coaster. I don't know about you, but there are just days, like I said, I mean, you know, you can start off the day being determined, I'm going to have a really good day, and have something happen at 8 a.m. And you're like, how in the world is this going to be a good day? I have no idea. But the word says that it's supposed to be a good day. And I'm wondering how that's going to happen now because this happened. Have you ever had days like that? I just don't feel like this is a good day. And so, praise God, we are not limited to our feelings. And then there are certain things that are just overwhelming. Have you ever had that pile of paper and it's so big now and you're just like, this is overwhelming. I don't even want to start. It's too much. It's too big a project, whatever it is, whether it's papers or some other area. It is too big a project. I just don't want to deal with it. And so it's just overwhelming. Where do I even begin? I don't know. And yet, again, we have the Holy Spirit that is with us. And he will begin to show us, okay, take 15 minutes and just touch it. Just do what you can. Stop after 15 minutes. You don't have to do the whole thing at once. And God is that way when he is spring cleaning our souls. He's not expecting that perfection overnight. He's like, okay, here, let's try this little chunk right here. Let's do this for now. This is what you can handle. He understands our flesh. He understands where we're coming from. He understands our background. He understands the hurts that we've been through. He understands the things. He understands that we have an adversary, the devil, that's seeking whom he may devour, that's standing before him and pointing out our faults to him all the time. He understands those things. And so he is not one that cannot appreciate where we are right now, but then he has made a way. He's made a way for us to get to the other side. And so I just want to look at James 1, 22 through 25. It says, "But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does." And so this encourages us to just let God's word work in us. If God's word tells us, we'll just camp on this for a while, that this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it. If his word tells us something like that, then when we wake up in the morning and we don't feel like getting out of bed, we don't feel like doing anything, we just remind ourselves, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You know, you can sing songs to yourself. Sometimes just having the music going. I know some of my girls, they like to blare music in the morning off of their little phones, and the speakers on phones are not that great. And so you're like, really? Don't you want to use headphones? It's so much better for all of us. But anyways, but that music, it will help. It will help. And you know, God is with us. And he is, that music, a lot of times it contains the word. If you're listening to worship music or praise music, it's containing the word. And that word is speaking to us in the morning. It's immediately, it's setting our emotions, our soul on what he says. And so then when different things come out throughout the whole day, you've had this place where you have started out saying, okay, God, I believe you. I believe that this is going to be a good day. No matter, it doesn't mean that everything goes right. How many times does it not go right? But I don't have to be destroyed by it. I don't have to let it completely incapacitate me. Because the joy of the Lord is my strength. And so I'm looking to him and I'm reminding myself. There's another scripture, Luke 11, 28. It says, "But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." And so there are things that we're going to see in the word. And again, he doesn't expect us to live the whole word of God perfectly the next day after we accept him as our Lord and Savior. But he will begin to create revelation in certain things and help us to start seeing things the way that he sees it. And then those things, as he is beginning to do that, if we will act on it, more revelation will come. More enlightenment will come. And you know, the first time you try to ride a bike, you are going to fall. There's very few people that just ride the bike and just take off. There's a process. Sometimes you have training wheels. sometimes you just don't have the training wheels and you just fall over and over and over. And so, and then if you have the training wheels and then you take the training wheels off, you fall. So it's not that you're going to necessarily do everything perfectly. Sometimes you might, you may get so much enlightenment that it's like not a problem for you ever again. But a lot of times it's something that you're going to take a step in. And you know what? You start out, when you wake up, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you know, you have it for an hour. And then something happens and you fall. And that's okay. What is not good is if the next day you go and say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice in it and be glad in it. But that doesn't work. I tried that yesterday and it didn't work. And so I don't believe it. It's not working. No, you say, okay, I'm going to do this again. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And you get up and, you know, maybe you make it 2 hours or an hour and a half. But you know what? There was some progress. And so you just keep, as I'm using that same example just throughout everything, but there's so many other areas in our lives that we can put that into practice in our lives. And so as you go and put, as you look to Him and allow His word to change the way you're looking at yourself, the way that you're looking at your situation, you are allowing spring cleaning to be happening in your soul. And so it doesn't have to happen overnight, but don't quit just because it didn't. Don't give up. Don't think, okay, that scripture doesn't work. I tried it, and it didn't happen. And so therefore, it's not going to take place in my life. So we want to believe the word when it comes to trusting God. This is one of the areas that we touched on last week. Trusting God, you know, believing that He is who He said He is, that He will do what He said that He will do. You know, let's look at Psalm 91, verses 1 and 2. It says, "He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in Him I will trust." And so we just are like, okay, I trust you. The Bible says it, so I trust you. I referenced this last week as well, but verse 4, Psalm 91:4, "He shall cover you with His feathers, and under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your shield and buckler." So there are just times, you know, that when you wake up, this is the day the Lord has made, I will rejoice and be glad in it, and you get through 1 hour and you get slammed. And then you're just like, I am just going to go and rest in His feathers right now. I'm just going to allow myself to just rest in Him. Allow Him, just looking to Him. Lord, I believe You more than this circumstance. I believe You more than what was just said. I believe You more. I believe You more. And that is putting your trust in God. And so then we talked about we have to resist the devil because he is an adversary. He is coming after you to destroy you. And so when he is, if you don't recognize it, if you think that that's God, you're just going to be like, okay, God. And you're getting pummeled left and right and thinking it's God, and it wasn't him. Instead, if he is accusing you, then you know if you're getting voices in your head that you're not good, you're not good enough, and it creates this feeling on the inside of you to quit, to what? To stop, to just be like defeat, that voice is not God. God will not talk to you like that. He will talk to you sometimes and say, okay, come on, you got this. You got this. Come on, you got this. But it is not one of those things where it's like slapping you upside the head and making you feel like an idiot. Because that does not motivate you. How many of you have ever been motivated when you felt like an idiot? I have never felt motivated by something like that. If anything, it begins to make me nervous the next time. I'm afraid to fail. Well, God does not work with us like that. He empowers us. He's like, you've got this. You got this. Get up. You got it. Come on. Yeah. Oh, that little thing, that's nothing compared to my might, compared to my power. Come on, you got this. So when the devil is coming at you, you resist it and say, no, that is not God. That is not his voice. And so James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. So there are times that I have to say to myself, I am submitting to your word, God. I believe that more than my feelings, my lack of motivation, you know, whatever it is that is wanting me not to spring clean my soul. I believe this more. I'm not going to procrastinate because I believe your word. I don't care what's been said to me. It doesn't agree with the word. I'm going to believe the word. I'm going to resist. I'm going to keep pushing back on whatever it is. And as I do that, I am yielding myself to God. I'm submitting to him. And so 1 John 4:18 says, there's no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. So we are not going to allow ourselves to just be afraid. The devil motivates by fear. You're afraid that you're going to miss out on something. So maybe you do an impulse buy that wasn't good for your finances. Why? Because you're afraid that the sale will go out or somebody's going to buy it before you get it. And then you buy it, and then you're like, I don't even want this. You were motivated by a fear. And so perfect love is God. God is love. That's what 1 John 4:8 says. God is love. And so he will motivate by love. He will motivate you. He will show you things. He will empower you. Sometimes love confronts, but it is not a confrontation where it's in condemnation. It is a confrontation. It is a conviction. I know that this is what I should be doing. And so therefore, I'm going to do that. And then you're expecting God to come alongside you and help you to be able to do it. And so another thing that can hold us back is our pride. Sometimes, you know, you don't want to admit that you're wrong. I know that that's no one here. You know, you're just like, no, I do everything right. There are times that we do stuff wrong, and it's okay to admit that and allow God to come in and help us, and he will turn situations around that maybe that we have done, we've messed up because of our pride. And so I'm going to go, we also talked about, you know, greed can be something, and you know, that can hold us back, and bitterness can be things that hold us back. But if we will believe the word of God, let's look at Ephesians 4:31-32. It says, let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. And so these are things that, again, we're not doing it in our own strength and in our own might. We are doing it asking God to come alongside. And it may be that we only work on one of those areas. Maybe we're just, you know, being kind. Today, I'm practicing kindness. I want to bite your head off, but I'm practicing kindness. And so you're allowing him to come alongside and work with you and help you. Lord, your word, he did not put anything in his word and say you can't do it. If it's in his word, that means you can do it. It means that with his help, he is empowering you to do it. And you can do it. And again, it's not that you're doing it in your might. It's not by might nor by power, but it's by his Spirit. And so that's how we are making changes in our life. We are allowing the Holy Spirit to come alongside, and he prompts us on the inside. And he says, you can do that. And so as we allow him to, he will give us wisdom. He will give us creativity. You know, sometimes we need creativity to love people. I don't know about you, but some people, they are just tough. And so we have to go to God who is love and say, okay, I need some creativity. How do I do this? And loving does not mean that you're a doormat, and it doesn't mean that you don't confront. Sometimes confrontation is love. It's like saying, you know, do you know that you're not really kind right now? I'm having difficulties wanting to be around you right now. I feel like this. Sometimes you're confronting. You're just saying, this is what's going on. This is what's happening, so that you can work through and get to the other side and have a deeper relationship. Most people, when something begins to get uncomfortable, they pull back. And there are some relationships that, you know, God will prompt you. You know what? This is not good. And he'll prompt you to pull back. But there's a lot of relationships, including your spouse, that it's like, sorry, you signed up for this. And so you are pressing in. And God, give me creativity. Help me to see this the way you see this. Help me to see that person the way you see them. Help me not to be hurt when certain things are said. Help me to remind myself what the word says about me more than maybe what that person is saying about me at that time. And so you're going to him. How do I do this? How do I do this? Oh, I don't want you to touch that area that hurts. No, God, spring clean it. Spring clean it. Help me. Because I want a different result than what I've had for however long. I want that in any area of our lives. As we allow him to change it and touch it, it becomes better. You know, we did some spring cleaning just recently, and the areas that we spring cleaned, it's better. It's so much nicer. It's like, you know, you feel like you can open that closet, and you know what? Nothing's gonna fall out. Not that it was, but I'm just saying, you know, it's just clean. It's nice. It's pretty. You want to go there. You want to be in that room because there's nothing hidden. You know where everything is. You know what it is. And so the final thing that I want to just touch on a little bit is that as we are working on areas in our lives, if we don't allow God to work on areas in our life and we become crusty, we can be crusty because we begin to judge other people. Because you know what? You're going to be so merciful with people when you've walked through something and you know how difficult it was for you to make the changes and do the different things. And so then when you see somebody else going through something like that, you're just like, you know, you're very gracious and merciful to them. Why? Because you understand what they're going through. But if you haven't been through something, sometimes it's easy to just be like, why can't you just get over it? And so we want to be very, very careful when we're dealing with other people and we see their flaws. We want to be very, very careful not to be judgy, not to look at them and just be like, you're an idiot. Why can't you get over this? I'm telling you, there are just times that they do things and it is stupid. And you're just like, did you see that? You're dumb. But sometimes it is one of these things that you're like, you're having to show mercy because you need mercy in the areas that maybe you're not seeing quite clearly or the areas that you're working on. And so I just want to read Matthew 7, starting with verse 3. It says, "And why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? Or how can you say to your brother, 'Let me remove the speck from your eye,' and look at the look, a plank is in your own eye?" Let's see. Hypocrite. I don't want God to call me a hypocrite.
I don't know.
Hypocrite. "First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye." And so one of the things that can begin to happen if we are crusty is we begin to be judgmental and start pointing out the flaws. Sometimes we can think we're further than we are. We like, well, if I were you, I wouldn't have done that. But there's sure a lot of area that that person wouldn't have done that you are doing. You know what I mean? So there's times that we do not want to be looking at what somebody else is doing wrong because we want mercy ourselves. We want grace for ourselves. And so when you see someone else's flaw, rather than judging them, you're giving them mercy. And sometimes it may be some one of these things that you need to work through the situation, especially as it's relating to you specifically. You may have to talk through things. You may have to walk through things. But just beware, because if you are hypercritical of other people, more than likely it's because you are judging and you are maybe not spring cleaning out some areas in your life. You are getting stagnant in your walk with God. And so it's causing you to point the finger at everybody else. And basically, like, you guys are all messed up. And you get puffed up in your own self. And so we want to be aware. When we're spring, that's part of the reason why we want to get the crust out. We don't want to be looking at other people and putting them down. If you are putting, who is the accuser? The accuser of the brethren is Satan. And so he will help you see the negative in other people and judge other people poorly. And so we want to be careful, because if we are beginning to do that, we need to take a step back and say, okay, God, help me. Help me not accuse other people. Help me not yield to this judgment. Another scripture is Galatians 6, 1 through 3. "Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, considering yourself, lest you also be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself." And so we want to be careful if we are going into, if we are looking at people, whether it's in our church, you know, looking around at people and saying, "I can't believe that they're not further in the things of God than they are." We don't want to be that judgmental person. We want to be, instead, we're coming together. We're encouraging one another. We're helping one another. We're strengthening. We're cheerleading one another on, saying, "You know what? You've got this. And I care about you. And I think you are important." And so as we do that, we are actually facilitating God to be able to come in and sow his mercy on our lives. And he shows us. And we are not as hard on ourselves. Have you ever noticed that the area that you are hard on yourself, a lot of times is the area that you will become hard on other people too? Because, I don't know, you feel judged, you judge. and then you feel judged. But as we look to him and we just say, Lord, you are the source. And it's your mercy, it's your grace, it's your help that you are giving to me. And you are the one that's helping me. Then when you see another flawed person, you can say, thank God that God's mercy and his grace and his love and his joy and his peace can help that person just like he helped me. And so we just want to keep that attitude when we're dealing with people, is that, you know, there will be times that God will lead you, and he may just say, you know what, that's someone else's project. That's not your project. You know, there are times like that, that he will not put that person, he will give you license to step back in a relationship, and that's okay. But then there's other times where he's like, okay, this is your area to grow as well. And you're looking to him for your peace and for his love to work in and through you. And so, anyways, so we are acting on the word, not just hearing it, but when we see it, we are allowing that word to empower us and to allow change to take place. Because if we just hear it and we don't do anything with it and we don't let God to move in us, then it does not produce the result that God has for us. And that is to be full of joy, full of peace, full of hope, with ability to share that with others. We want our lives to be lives that cause other people to want to know God. We don't want to be the hypocrite that everyone's like, yeah, you're a Christian, but you're a hypocrite. No, we're the ones that, God, change me, use me. So let's just take a moment.